Reading from Ardhabhakti Sutra 55. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Pure love of God, let me see. Tadprapyatad eva, eva valokayati tadeva, shinoti tadeva, ashiyati tadeva chintayati. Having obtained pure love of God, one looks only at the Lord, hears only about Him, speaks only of Him, and thinks only of Him. Purport. Lord Krishna describes this stage of perfection in Bhagavad Gita 6:30. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamayi pashyati tasyaham na panashyami sachame na panashyati. The one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Srila Prabhupada writes, such a person may appear to see all the separate manifestations of the material nature, but in each and every instance he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. This is samadhi or trance, and whether one achieves it by the Eightfold Yoga system or Bhakti Yoga, it is the same. The case of Bhakti Yogi is fixed at devotional service at all the time. Whatever he sees contributes to his meditation on Krishna. So, Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sita Tanya Mano Bhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Anshakalpa Taru Pyashta Kripashindu Vaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from Newburgh, upstate New York, with the Raval family. Been in the city. We did a program last night at Jiva Mukti. It was quite a, I guess, one of the most successful yoga centers in New York. And then really had a wonderful 6-hour bhakti seminar at Yoga Maya. And it works. The process works. Really, a bhakti seminar means that very sincere students for 6 hours. It's philosophy. It's reading Shastra. These are not devotees. These are people, yogis, reading Shastra and meditating on the holy name and hearing about Krishna. They meditate on acts and objects of devotion. And they're open-hearted enough to be actually extremely affected by it. Really, you can see how the process works. I mean, the people really had some deep experience. It was very edifying in many, many ways. Now, in studying Narada Bhakti Sutra, it's really it's trying to give us some frame of reference for this bhakti, which in ways is difficult to understand without faith, that faith may come by the appreciation of people who exhibit the qualities based on that experience, or promote a reasonable worldview based on that experience, or contact in an innocent way with the objects of devotion. But bhakti is an experience. And to explain that experience in its maturity, the pure experience of devotion, it's hard to do to someone who doesn't have a frame of reference based on that experience. So it's described as you know, seeing the forest through the trees. You know, you point to the trees, that's your frame of reference. And somehow it can guide you in actually understanding it to some degree. And I mean, the most clear example is trying to explain, you know, sex life to someone who's not, why would you do it? But the answer would be to explain to someone who's not yet physically mature. They just don't have a frame of reference. So within their frame of reference, you have to describe it. But in one sense, what you're describing is beyond description to them, because they don't have the frame of reference to understand it. But it's revealed to a qualified person who understands it by that experience. You know, my personal experience is explaining bhakti in the context of Vrindavan, when you're absorbed in devotion in a holy place that's energizing the consciousness in such a way. Things that previously did not make sense all of a sudden do make sense, because you have that experience. And it's different. Although there's a parallel, we're describing love, but it's prema. And prema is coming from the platform of complete freedom from any tinge of personal desire. So when you describe prema, and you describe these topics of prema, it gives one some idea what it's like, but at the same sense, when a worthy skull reveals it, it's beyond the gunas, and it's devoid of desire. And what are the gunas? The gunas are the shapes and forms of sensual experience that allow us to enjoy selfishly, to allow us to satisfy some egotistical urge, some false conception of identity, in by peacefulness, funny, intense activity for me, inertia for me, and a mixture of all of them. So it's such a different quality, frame. And because it's real love, there's no objective outside of that love which one can stop to break that love. And it's coming from the soul, which is, and so it's very subtle and refined. So really what Narada is trying to do right now is give you some hint or give you some understanding of this experience by explaining that it's beyond the frame of reference of how we experience these forms and activities in this world. But gaining that, and that's what this verse is. This is the piyojana. This is the result of bhakti. And what's the result of bhakti? Gaining this. Then all the senses are absorbed in Krishna and your relationship with Krishna all the time. And that's called prema. Sandandana visheshatma. Sandra means like metal. You can't put a pin through it. So your consciousness is so thick with Krishna, out of your love for Krishna, that there's nothing else in that consciousness. And the purport of Prabhupada's going to describe that, and he's going to describe that in a very wonderful commentary, how he's going to describe that, that common example that Prabhupada gives, when someone has love, anything connected with the object of your infatuation, the object of your devotion, the object of your love, anything connected with that will remind you of that. That's what love is. And because what actually exists is Krishna. And what illusion is not to see Krishna. Because everything is connected with Krishna. Everything is Krishna's energy. Anuyam Gyan, consciousness, which is inclusive of everything else, that is God. So when you realize the absolute truth, you see everything in relationship to the absolute truth. Because everything is God's energy. And the only thing that's keeping us from experiencing that truth is our lack of love for that truth. And because of a lack of love of that truth, we don't want to see that truth. And therefore, that truth, nitya nitya anam, chaitanas chaitana anam, eko bhavunam yoga didati kaman, that truth who fulfills the desires of everyone, covers us from that truth by our desire not to be devoted to it, so that we can have the sense of ego and control that we desire. So it's blocking us from perception of reality is our attitude towards reality. And when you change that attitude, then reality unveils itself fully. And that's the Prayojana. Sambandhagyan, the philosophical reception of Krishna consciousness, Krishna and Krishna's energies. The means to realize it is bhakti or devotion. And when, as a result of bhakti or devotion, we realize the absolute truth, we experience the absolute truth, which is our relationship and love for the absolute truth, which is everything. And you see only if Krishna, because it really, even if you know, if you have devotion for Krishna, even if you see Ram, you see Krishna. You see Krishna as a king. And what's the universal form? You see the energies of God connected to God, and you remember God. It's so refreshing to associate with people who have this consciousness. Because it's all about Krishna intensely. And they're seeing everything intensely as Krishna's. And therefore seeing everything in relationship. And that's how you see everything as Krishna's. When you see everything in relationship to Krishna, then you see everything to be used for Krishna. And when you use things for Krishna, it reveals what it is, which is Krishna. That's what sacrifice means. There's a verse in Bhagavad Karmapanam that sacrifice, when everything is given to Krishna, it reveals Brahman. If you use something selfishly, then you will not see what it is, which is Krishna. It's like if you take something that belongs to someone else, then you'll start seeing it as yours, which it is not. But if you use it in the service of the owner, then it reveals its nature. And in this case, the revelation of nature is the revelation of what actually exists, because everything is Krishna's energy. And one who actually sees that becomes thrilled at every moment, as he's experiencing, remembering the object of his love, which is Krishna. And that's why prema, in the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam in four natural verses, the two verses, first verses, describe what is the Vaishnav Sambandhijan, what is the Vaishnav conception of reality. The Vaishnav conception of reality is that what actually exists is Krishna. And when we don't see Krishna, it's only the effect of his own illusory potency, which Krishna bestow, it's not exactly a gift, which Krishna covers one with when they want to be covered. Your illusions are a product of your own desires. When you don't want to see something, then there's an energy that facilitates the illusion that what's there is not, or facilitates the illusion that what is not there, what we want, is. So all based on desire, cultivating that desire to love Krishna, which comes in association with Krishna, specifically in relationship, and most powerfully in relationship to Krishna in sound, which is called the holy name. So the revelation of reality is the experience of reality and the love of reality. And when there is love, then when you have this energy in your heart, when you gain it, this verse says, you see only him, you hear only him, you think only of him. That's prema bhakti. And that's what's being described in this verse. To read on the purport. To help understand pure Krishna consciousness, the acharyas give us examples of samadhi-like states, even in the ordinary affairs. One second. When a mother sees the shoe of a little child, she just doesn't see them as neutral objects. She feels protection and love for her child. Similarly, when a lover picks up his beloved's comb, especially if he's in separation from her, he may feel intense emotions of love. In the case of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is his energy. So wherever the bhakta goes, or wherever he whatever he perceives throughout the universe, he is reminded of the Lord. Moreover, this recognition is not merely an intellectual habit, but a total overpowering state of love. When you achieve that state, that's called rasa. It's totally consuming. It's love that's overwhelming. And when love becomes overwhelming, when there's a relationship of love that becomes overwhelming, the only thing that can be in one's mind is the object of one's love. And when you are fortunate enough to love everything, which is Krishna, it is especially stimulating. And when Prabhupada was in the blackouts during the Indo-Pakistan War, he was interviewed during the day, what would you do if you saw, you know, a bomb came? He said, I'd see Krishna. So that's rasa, rasa vaisaha. That is the ultimate reality. Very intense, energetic exchange between us and God. And that exchange is called prema. It's the energy of the universe moving through our hearts towards God for the pleasure of God. In Brahma Samhita 5.38, Lord Krishna describes the devotional qualification to seeing Krishna always and everywhere. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santasya dadidyeshu yachama sundara chintu vinasa. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, and whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. Nice analogy. What's over your eyes affect your vision. Whatever you see through a particular lens affects how you perceive the object. And that's what rag means. When you have attachment, it means that you see things through that attachment. You have rose-colored glasses, you see everything is red. When you have love for Krishna, you see things through that love. That's what love means. Love, real devotion is rasa. It's overwhelming and consuming. And when you see through it, a very wonderful thing happens. Your cataracts, the things covering your eyes from true vision become destroyed. So this salve of love doesn't color our vision. It corrects our vision. It is the way the soul can actually see what's there, as if someone with defective vision is putting on proper glasses. The glasses is not distorting his vision. It's distorting what we see to bring it to the proper vision of what's there. In the purport, his purport, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, the eye of devotion is nothing but the eye of pure and loved spiritual self of the jiva. The form of Krishna is visible to that eye in proportion to its purification by the practice of devotion. The eye of devotion is actually the beautiful, beautiful point by Bhakti Siddhanta. It's actually the eye of the self. It's actually the awareness of the self, which has been covered. Cheto darpanam marginam, bhava laha devagni nirvapanam. Cheto darpanam marginam. The cheto darpanam marginam, the mirror, the consciousness of the mind, cheto darpanam marginam. It's clean. By the spiritual process which develops love in the heart. So your lens becomes cleansed. And not only that, this brings it even further. You actually have real eyes, and the eye of the soul. And the form of Krishna is visible to that eye in proportion to its purification. That's why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, I'm going to read something if I can find it. It's so beautiful. Yeah, listen to this. Srila Bhakti Rakshita Sridhamaraj. Here, sound is the most subtle thing. But there, the spiritual world is just the opposite. There it is the most gross thing. Actually, anyway, I'll read it anyway. That is what reflection means, and it is perverted. So in the plane of substance, sound is the most concrete thing. The subtlemost plane here, the nearest innermost plane, that of sound, can cross over the many coverings of this world and come in contact with the nature of that existence, where the cover of that world is composed of sound. So through sound, we can go inside there. Like lightning, the divine name reveals itself to us, producing some color and figure within us, within our conception. And that form and color will be of another type, not like the form and color of this world. And the next quality. In this way, one will spring from each other. Such sound must have such color and figure, and such figure must automatically have such quality. It will come forth from within. He's talking about how the name reveals ourselves and it produces some color and then some figure, and then the figure has qualities. After the quality will come association, and it will all come from the other plane and enter into the soul's conception. Then from the name, form, qualities, and associates will come their mutual transactions, the interactions between all these things, the waves and vibrations of different types. That is pastime lila. Then the soul will find that his purest, finest ego. Then the soul will find his purest, finest ego, who he really is, also has a part to play in such position. He will see his own soul in a particular place, a particular location there. He will see in that exact spot, I am there. So describing the the form of Krishna is visible to the eye in proportion to the purification, to the sound. The sound is purifying the eye, the inner eye. And as the sound purifies the inner eye, gradually Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, and our own nature is revealed. What prevents most of us from seeing Krishna with the eyes of love? We have a cataract on our eyes that consists of a material attachment, as Sri Krishna states, Aham prakasya sarvasya yoga maya samavrata. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Krishna does not hide from us. He wants us to be with him. He is like the sun that always blazes in the sky. No cloud is big enough to cover him. But from our earthly vantage point, even a small cloud can block our view of the sun. In the same way, the clouds of our desire and hatred prevent us from seeing our beloved Lord and block us from enjoying the happiness and peace that come from serving him. To realize Krishna consciousness, therefore, we have to rise above our upadis, the false designations that make us think that the body is the self and make us identify with our mental concoction. Narada is describing the ultimate stage of bhakti. This stage is rare, but one can achieve it by the mercy of the Vaishnavas who teach bhakti. One who reads the Vedic literatures with a speculative attitude will never know Krishna. We can attain his grace if we work in bhakti yoga, guided by his representatives. Srila Prabhupada writes, when one is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, beginning by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, and one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavad Gita, Purport 7:24. So, well, there's a new section coming up, so I'm going to stop now. It's just such a different section. I may give a little review of it, but does anybody would like to ask any questions? I actually have some time today.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Okay, yeah. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't have so much to ask, but I don't know if this is more probably like a comment or something, but... You know, the experience of bhakti is beyond, you know, my experience thus far. And so it kind of just makes you wonder, well, you know, if we have no frame of reference at all for it, you know, it's almost like what's even the point of talking about it? We can't relate to it at all.
Well, obviously there is some relation to it because one who hears about it has some faith, and that faith is some experience that builds up. There is some experience, obviously. Just like you always say, there's super soul experience. So there is experience. But still, there's faith and trust beyond our experience also in relationship with engagement with that. But there is experience. That's what faith is. Why is there faith? There's some experience. It may not be the full experience, just like the sun. You know, you may experience heat and light, even on a cloudy day. So you may not understand the brilliance of the sun, but you could realize that, you know, you could realize something about it in the frame of reference, in the experience that you have. And at the same time, someone can use maybe some analogies to help you. Like, look, there's the fire. That's within your experience. You know, you feel the heat of the fire. Okay, that's what heat is. And the sun is like that. So it's something like that. But there is experience. Bhakti begins with experience. Mm-hmm. Then there can be explanation, but it begins with experience. And the philosophy itself is an experience. Because when you hear Shastra, it's not just intellectual, it is an experience. And because it's an experience, you have actually some frame of reference to understand.
Oh, well, philosophy is an, I don't see how philosophy is beyond intellectual.
Because it's about Krishna. So it's also Shastra, it's also Shabda Brahman, it actually is Krishna. Both the philosophy of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, and the pastimes of Krishna, the Bhagavatam, they're also Krishna. So even, you know, even it's also Krishna. It's a manifestation of Krishna. So there's some experience even in hearing philosophy of Krishna.
It's an experience just because it's Krishna?
It is Krishna,
right?
Yes.
I know it is Krishna. The philosophy is Krishna because it's his philosophy. But somehow...
But it is Krishna in itself. Because if there's sacred texts, the Bhagavatam is Krishna.
Yeah.
It also is Krishna. So it has... Yeah.
So therefore, even those who are approaching the Shastra, not in a devotional way, but purely in a scholarly way, they are also experiencing Krishna, even though they don't have...
Maybe not. Because I'm explaining to you. You have to listen. Just like it says that, you know, one will be influenced by the experience of, you know, by the association of Mahabhagavat. Everyone except one person. The person who has a little knowledge and is proud. It's just like fire is there, but if you put a rag and put it in water, you won't experience the fire. The rag won't experience the fire until the water is dried. So in that sense, you know, a scholar who has such a fixed conception and doesn't really have value and doesn't open his heart, then the experience will be very, very minimal, if anything at all. Just like when Allen Ginsberg came to Prabhupada, and after so many years, they said, hey, Prabhupada, he seems to have made a little, you know, he seems to be nicer. Prabhupada said, yes, over time, you know, it had some effect. He was chanting the holy name. Even before the devotees came to America, Allen Ginsberg was already promoting the Hare Krishna mantra, but it didn't have the same effect because the faith wasn't there, the value wasn't there. So therefore, we can cover our consciousness to a certain degree. But if the scholar reads it in an innocent way, not a hateful way, then yeah, there'll be some effect.
And the best way to be affected by Shastra is to read it with the mood of, well, I want to try to become a devotee. What's the most open way to?
Like that. Mm-hmm. I teach prayerful reading in my bhakti seminars, and people pray first to Prabhupada. Is the meeting a saintly person. I want to be influenced. I want to be transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they read in that way, to be influenced, to be transformed with faith and value. Yeah, and then there's great influence. And there's more influence.
And experience.
And some is what?
And experience.
Excuse me? And experience.
Experience.
Yeah, and then they experience, yeah. And if someone reads it because I want to give a great class, you know, I want, you know, it's like this. Krishna is the absolute truth. And if you approach the absolute truth in a mood of service, you understand the absolute truth and you get the absolute truth. Once the consciousness of exploitation enters in, then the absolute truth may not appear. Krishna is Swaraj. He's independent.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he's manifest in Shastra, and there's an influence. And therefore, Prabhupada would say, you know, even if someone reads one sentence, if he touches the book, because it's Krishna.
Okay,
Gail? Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else like to say hello? Okay, people are shy today. I'll say one more thing. You know, Krishna consciousness is spreading. I was staying in the Bhakti Center, and Adi... what is it? Adi Purush? Adi Purush. Who one of the founders of the Bhakti Center and has his food for life and his bed and breakfast. He brought to me one Russian Orthodox priest in the black robes and the black hat. And, you know, he came to me to see me. And he was very humble and very, very respectful. He was 20 years younger than me. And then when I was, and he's the minister for a beautiful church. I believe it's on First Avenue. A beautiful, big Russian Orthodox church with a large congregation. And it was interesting that, you know, he at one time he lived in a Hare Krishna ashram. And it's funny, he still had so much respect for the devotees and really, and I found out he was friends with the brahmacharis. Father Joseph. Very interesting how the influence you can see of Krishna consciousness is spreading more and more. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello today?
Krishna Maharaj, it's Allegra from Princeton. Thank you for class. It was really wonderful.
Who is it?
Allegra from Princeton.
Oh, Allegra, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Wonderful that you can get on Wednesday. That's so nice. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. I really learned a lot from this one.
Wonderful, wonderful. Hope we'll see each other soon and we can exchange ideas and discuss like we did last time. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Good. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, sometimes people can't unmute the phones or they don't, it's not an obligation. And, but I do see that many people are listening. Okay, thank you very much. Vanchukal Patrudhya Sakh, soon to be able to show up with you.